Your love so great, Jesus in all things. I've seen a glimpse of your heart, a billion years, till I'll be singing. How can I praise you enough? How can I praise you enough? You are the Lord. You are the Lord Almighty, shining all the stars in glory. Your love is like the wildest ocean. Oh, nothing else compares. All to the Savior. We are alive for your praise. Earth and sky, no one is higher. Our God of wonders you raise. Our God of wonders you raise. You are the Lord. You are the Lord Almighty, shining all the stars in glory. Your love is like the wildest ocean. Oh, nothing else compares. Oh, you are the Lord Almighty, shining all the stars in glory. Your love is like the wildest ocean.
Good morning, church family, and a very special good morning to our FBC Kids and FBC Kids Junior.
You guys have been working so hard each and every week to learn a memory verse with us, and we are so proud of you.
We'd like you to check out these videos now to show you just how hard our kids have been working to hide scripture in their hearts.
When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Psalms 56:3.
When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Psalms 56:3.
When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Psalms 56:3.
Good job, bud.
Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Joshua 1:9.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16.
Awesome job, kids and kids junior. I hope you guys will keep working hard each and every week to learn scripture with us.
Families, we hope you are just as encouraged as we are when we watch these kids share the word they've been learning. We also hope you will be encouraged to keep studying and learning God's word during this time.
We love and miss you guys so much and can't wait to worship again with you soon.
Oh, how high would I climb mountains if the mountains were where you hide? Oh, how far I'd scale the valleys if you graced the other side? Oh, how long have I chased rivers from lowly seas to where they against the rush of grace descending from the source of its supply. 'Cause in the highland and the heartache, you need a more or less decline. I would search and stop at nothing. You're just not that hard. I'll praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within your shadow. No less faithful in the night we stay. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the islands and the heartache all the same. Does your kindness extend the path where your feet rest on the sunlight to where your sweet descendants pass? Oh, how fast you come running, just a shadow through the night. Trace my steps through all my. Walk me out the other side. For who could ever ascend that mountain, that valley hill called Calvary? But for the one I call good shepherd, who like a lamb was slain. I'll mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I'll praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadow. No less faithful when the night is being strayed. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the islands, in the heart. Wherever I am, your name can move mountains. Wherever I stand, wherever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadow my song of ascent. Wherever I walk through, wherever I am, your name can move mountains. Wherever I stand, wherever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadow my song of ascent, my song of ascent. Oh, 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 my song of ascent. Oh, 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 from the bravest of all valleys come the pastures we call great. Mighty river flowing upwards from a deep but empty grave. Oh, I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I'll praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the islands and the heartache all the same.
Church family, I want to thank you for your generosity and the sacrifices you're making during this time that is so unprecedented as we have been separated as a church family and only gathering online. You have been so generous, and we continue to keep our church moving forward and doing ministry week after week. So thank you for that. Thank you for trusting God, and we'll talk about that more in our sermon today. Let me tell you about an exciting opportunity for giving that I think we'll all enjoy, and that is our drive-through Annie Armstrong Easter offering experience. It's going to happen tomorrow. So right now, let's pray, and then we'll watch a quick video giving us a little more information of what that's going to look like tomorrow. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to give now as we give online or through text or sending something in the mail. Thank you for all these avenues of giving. Thank you that we can make a difference through our giving. And we pray not only for our church offering, but this Annie Armstrong Easter offering that we call it for North American missions as we continue to raise funds to support people doing church planting and evangelism throughout North America. What a critical time for us, Lord, to give and to give generously. So help us now to do that, to make the sacrifices needed to bless our church family, to bless our community and the entire world through our focus on evangelism and missions. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, every year at Easter time, we collect, as Southern Baptists, we collect the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And 100% of this offering goes to support North American missions. And so we're going to provide a special opportunity for us as a church to give to Annie Armstrong. And so tomorrow on April 27th from 5:30 to 7:30, we invite you to come by the church. We'll be on the Washington Street side in the preschool entrance. And so anytime during that time frame, then you can come by, bring your offering, just put it in an envelope And it doesn't have to be marked or anything. It doesn't have to be a special envelope. This is the only offering we're taking this day, so we're going to know exactly where it's going to. But you'll just pull in. We don't expect you to stop. We don't expect you to get out of your car or have a conversation with anybody. All we are going to do is just come by, and we're going to drive in to the Washington Street entrance right here. We'll have some staff here to just kind of wave you on and cheer you on. And then we'll have a basket set up right over here where you can drop your offering off. And that's it. It's that easy. So we hope to see you on April 27th for our drive-through Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Now, here's a special message from our church planner and partner, Jonathan Mosley, in Boston, Massachusetts.
Hey, Thomasville family. My name is Jonathan Mosley. I'm a church planner up in Boston with a church called Kings Hill and a little neighborhood called Mission Hill in the center of the city. I think about this time of the year where the Annie Armstrong offering is usually being taken up. And man, when I got to Boston 8 years ago, that's when actually NAM started to really come alongside me and my family. And throughout these entire 8 years, the North American Mission Board has just embraced the calling that we've felt to plant a church in Boston. They've provided some incredible community, incredible resources. And so what a special time to think about Annie Armstrong and her legacy and how it's giving birth now to many families across the country. It's exciting. So thank you to NAM. Thank you to Thomasville. We're just encouraged by you guys. And just know that we're praying for you up here, and we really love you guys.
In the valley of the unknown, I will live.
want to invite you to join with me in your copy of God's Word in Matthew chapter 6 today as we look at verses 19 through 34. As you're obviously aware, our world is right on the precipice of what's next. We don't know what's coming around the bend. There's been so many predictions and models and expectations and news commentary and all the rest. And it's not just with the pandemic and what the virus is going to do next, but now we're waiting to see what unfolds with the economy. And it has us really on edge as people are talking about how bad the job numbers are, and we're seeing relief packages given out, and we're seeing all this stuff reported on the news where things may be as bad or worse than the Great Depression. And it has us all on edge as we worry. So today I want to address that. I want us to understand that we do not have to fear economic downturns. We talked about fear last week, and I want to build on that mindset and topic today as we challenge ourselves not to get consumed and worried about money, but to understand that we are under the umbrella of God's protection. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We belong to a kingdom greater and much different than the one we live in here on earth. So today, let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 34 and find some encouragement in these very scary economic times. Let's look at the Word of God. As it says here, the words of Jesus, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then he continues and says in verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." He continues with some great and helpful words for us in verse 25. "Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. And that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow. Won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Would you pray with me? Our Father, we pray for your help today. As we face these very uncertain economic times, we need encouragement. We need hope. We need to trust in you by faith and know that you are our great provider. God, help us today to find hope in what appear to be oftentimes hopeless situations. We pray for your guidance and your comfort. I pray that you would bless those listening today with your provision, that they would find you are strong and you are faithful. Father, help them today, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So today, what I want to challenge you to do is put aside fear of economic downturns. Put aside fear over money and possession-related things. And there are several things we need to do to make that happen. Take some important steps today. Number one, recognize the true source of your material possessions. You know, we worry and fret about money more than most anything else in our lives. Isn't that true? Isn't it true, perhaps, in your life that you worry more about provision for the future than you worry about most anything? Someone said quite humorously this, "We spend more than we have on stuff we don't need to impress people we don't like." And we do that. We live that out almost on a daily basis, buying stuff, accumulating things, trying to find happiness, trying to impress others, worrying about having more and having enough in life. It's clear in our passage today that everything we have, everything that comes into our possession is from God. So Jesus says, in light of that, do not worry. Don't worry about stuff. Don't worry about money. God provides it. And if He is the provider, if He is the decider about your material possessions, your money, then you don't have to worry because God will handle it for you. Do not worry. Over and over, He says it. We get so worked up about how we're going to pay the bills and how we're going to afford groceries and how we're going to pay for the kids and college and retirement and all the stuff. And look, I get it. Those are very real issues, and they're perhaps more real to you now than they've been in any other time in your life. But Jesus says, don't worry. Don't fret. God is your provider. All the things that you come to own or possess are by the grace and the goodness of God. What we need to understand and take hold of today is that God will give us everything we need. God will be your supplier. As Matthew 6 reminds us, God provides drink and food and clothes and shelter. Jesus tells us, for example, just look at the natural kingdom. Just look around you at how God has provided everything. As you look at the animals of this earth, when was the last time you saw a bird fretting over not having food to eat? When was the last time you saw a bird fret because it was worried about how to survive and how it's going to meet its needs? No, God provides, Jesus tells us here. Now, I can relate to the struggle. I can't tell you how many times I have worried about money-related things. Maybe some childhood insecurities. I don't know what would drive it, but I am a money worrier. So this sermon is more for me than it is for you maybe today, but I am certainly a worrier about those kinds of things. But here's the reality I must face. All that worry, all the stuff I've fretted about and bills worrying about being paid and savings accounts and retirement, all the things I've worried about over and over again, really all of those things have come to nothing. It was worrying for nothing. You see, as I think back over my life, I can't really specifically recall the things I was worried about. I was worried about a lot of stuff, but I'm not really sure about most of it. It was just worry for nothing. And yet here I am today, Jesus would tell me, well fed and provided for, way too well fed. I mean, if you could ward off a virus during a quarantine with Oreo cookies, I am invincible. I mean, this quarantine has pushed many of us to just eat way too much, and we need to be reminded in that, not just to cut back a little bit, but God provides. Even in these scary times, hasn't God met your needs? God has been so good to us, and we don't have to worry. Jesus says if He feeds the birds, if He clothes the fields with flowers, if He does all these things, all this stuff that's of comparatively little value, if He does it for them, surely God will take care of us. He's going to feed you. He's going to clothe you. He's going to take care of you. So it's time for us to stop being so worked up about every single thing that comes on the news, because with relief packages and news reports and stock markets and all the rest, we have to come back to this reality. Washington, D.C. and Wall Street, they do not provide for us. Relief packages from the government are not the solution to your provision. Your provider is the Lord your God. And just because everything points to an economy headed south, it does not mean today that God is strapped for cash. It's not like God is sitting up there rubbing His hands and worrying and fretting like we are, as if somehow He's in trouble because of our economic times. God has been the great provider. He is the great provider, and He will always be the great provider. Unfortunately for us, when we worry, over the economy, we're acting like we don't know Christ. We're acting like the lost people of the world. Notice what Jesus said there in verse 32. For the Gentiles eagerly seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Lost people are chasing after this stuff. They're worrying about these things, and Jesus says there should be something markedly different about the believer. You shouldn't be chasing after stuff and worrying and fretting about having more in life, not acting like the unsaved world, but being different, living with faith in God and understanding and never forgetting God is your provider and that God can and will provide for you in uncertain economic times. Let me give you a few verses to help you today. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Listen to this. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. God is able to make it overflow into your life, that you have everything you need. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money. In other words, chasing after it, worrying over it, making it the priority in your life. But be satisfied with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Listen to this. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What great promises. That God provides even in down markets. Even when there's economic downturn, God is still our rich provider. Recognize today what you have is from God. And remember that during these tough times. Number two, to get past all the fear of these economic downturns, you need to honor God with the first portion of your wealth. Honor God with the first portion of your wealth. If you want to have greater security in your personal finances, practice sacrificial giving. It will bring joy to your life and it will bring peace to your heart. See, for a lot of people, giving is something that is painful. It's something that's unnatural. I need it, so you're telling me I need to give it to have what I need. It's counterintuitive, but this is how God's economy works. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 6 through 7, as here it tells us about the joy of giving. We don't need to hold selfishly and worry, but when we trust in God, we're freed up to let money flow through us, wealth flow through us to bless others. It says, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. You hear how God's economy works? You don't give, you hold on tightly, God gives you less. And the person who sows generously also reaps generously. Each person should do as he decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, not being forced to do it, not doing it because you feel like you have to and you don't want to, but to give because God loves a cheerful giver. God loves when we give and we're excited about it. God loves when we give, and it's something we love doing. How can making a sacrifice be fun? How can giving up financially be something that makes us happy? Because you're a part of something eternal. Because when you give, you're connecting into the stream of what God is doing in the world, and you're changing lives, you're making a difference, and here's what else you're doing. You're saving for the day when you ultimately retire. Not just when you retire from your job, but when you retire from life. That's what Jesus tells us in verses 19 through 21 in our passage. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Don't just get a bunch of stuff and try to impress people and have more and build bigger things and have more stuff piled up in your possession. But instead, verse 20, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus tells us to place our treasure in heaven, to send it ahead, to send it on into eternity. Because truly, The only thing you keep in the end is what you give away to God. I mean, isn't it true? No matter what we accumulate and accomplish in this life, it's all left behind when we die. But what we give to God's kingdom, what we invest in eternity, remains. So Jesus teaches us about the joy of giving. I, just as a personal testimony, have always enjoyed giving. Since I was saved as a teenager at the age of 14, I have practiced tithing my income. Even on those little part-time jobs when I didn't have money, when it was hard to put gas in my little truck and I needed that money, I would still tithe to the Lord, and it was a great joy. And I've seen time and time again how amazing it is that God gives it back. And He gives it back multiplied times over. God just keeps blessing and blessing and blessing. And all the while, I get the satisfaction of knowing that my giving is making a difference in the lives of other people, and it's advancing God's kingdom here on earth. I'm sending it ahead. I'm investing in God's eternal program. Listen, I tell you today, if you tithe back to God what He has given to you, what happens in this crazy world will cause quite a bit less of worry and fear in your life, because your heart is not here. When you give to God's kingdom, your heart's not in this world. It's in God's heaven. It's focused there. It's focused on eternity, not on the temporal. As Jesus said in verse 21, notice again, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, when your money is invested in heaven, you care a little bit less about the economy of this world. You're invested in heaven. It's where your heart is. It's where your focus is. It's where you long to be. So in the end, while you may have some concern, you may be a little bit unsettled, you know that in the end it does not matter, because you belong to another kingdom and you're invested in that kingdom. You belong to God and His work, and through your giving, His work here in this world. So I challenge you today, if you don't give, you should start. Because the return on your investment is far greater than anything else you're going to find in this world, because it's eternal. People are saved. What an incredible dividend that is paid. Now, if you don't tithe and you think you can't because of your finances, I would challenge many of us today. We need to, not everyone, but many of us, we need to own up to the bad choices we have made. We're in a position where we have outlived and outpaced our income. God gave to us and wants us to, out of all that He has entrusted to us, He wants us to live on a less amount than the total, so that we can give, so we can invest in His kingdom. But many of us, we live to the lid and oftentimes even beyond. So what we need to do today is own up to some bad decisions, admit that to God that we've made poor choices, and as Dave Ramsey says, paid the stupid tax. And I've paid that quite often in my life. I may have told this story before, but in my first church, I was really strapped financially. I was on a very low salary. Cindy was not working at that time, and things were tight. But I had this guy in my church, and he was a wheeler and a dealer. He would buy these used cars, and he would flip cars, and he was making money just a weekly basis. He'd buy a car, sell a car, buy a car, sell a car. And he was telling me about it and persuaded me that I needed to get in on this deal. So, you know, not having a lot, I thought, well, man, if I could make some easy money, I need to do this. So I go online, I go to eBay, because I thought that's where you should buy a used car. And I didn't just buy a simple car that would still be beyond what I could afford, a few thousand dollars, and try to make $500. No, I found the deal of a lifetime on a Lexus SUV. And I just lost my mind, got caught up in the bidding war, and next thing you know, they're delivering from North Carolina a Lexus SUV to my driveway. And I just panicked. What have I done? I borrowed the money to pay for this car. I just made all these dumb decisions. I was so worried because I knew people recognized I didn't make a lot of money. My church members would know that. And now there's a Lexus in my driveway, and the sweet lady down the street parked it in her garage so no one would see it. I was just making all these dumb decisions. And I'm proud to tell you it was such a great investment because I only lost about $500 or $1,000. I mean, by the skin of my teeth, I got out of that deal, never bought another car, paid the stupid tax. It was the best $1,000 I've ever lost. I learned so much in that experience. But the problem for many of us today is we don't learn, do we? We just repeat the same problems, the same bad behaviors. We never own up to the responsibility of managing what God has entrusted to us and doing what we're supposed to do. And God is calling us today, set our finances in order. Focus first on giving to His kingdom and watch how He blesses and brings joy to our lives and liberates us from the fear of money because now we're under His protection. Today, let me challenge you, if you do not start the practice of giving. Maybe you can't just start tithing right out of the gate because you've got to order some things in your life, but do something. Give something. Make a difference in the world for God's kingdom. Honor God in some way with what you can while you can. Trust God and find how He blesses you. It's so freeing, it's so fun, and it crushes fear and replaces it with faith. Number three, I want to challenge us today. Believe God at His word. Verse 33 tells us this, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. All these things will be provided for you. Jesus says to seek Him first. Make that the priority. You know, if we spend as much time seeking God and reading our Bibles and praying and worshiping Him as we do, focusing on our bills and worrying about our money and looking at our bank accounts and retirement accounts, we would turn the world upside down if we put that same energy into the things of God. So Jesus says, hey, it's really hard, and most of you aren't doing it, but put your faith above your finances. Put God above worrying about your money and your bills and your financial worries. And then we just need to step back once we're doing that. Once God is first, once He is the priority, and we need to let God do what He has promised to do, and that's provide for you. So you have to understand it comes from God, and we need to entrust it to God. And now, point number three, we need to believe God. We need to put it into His care and trust Him to provide for us. What's the problem today with that? Let's just ask ourselves the question, what's the problem? Do we not trust Him? Do we not believe Him? How is it that we can trust God to save us and bring us into eternal life with Him, but then we don't trust Him to feed us? He's created our bodies, but we don't entrust our bodies to Him. We can believe that He has parted the Red Sea, He's raised the dead, but He can't help us to pay the light bill. God can handle being our provider. Why? Because He owns everything. Someone once said, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He'll sell a few if He has to. In other words, God will do what needs to be done to meet the needs of your life. Trust Him to give you what you need. Believe God at His word. Number four, then don't let money consume you. Don't let your money consume you. Jesus tells us in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus makes it clear we can't serve God and money. We can't do both. We can't run in two different directions at the same time, because both God and money demand total allegiance, don't they? Total focus, total energy. They are all consuming our God and then money. So often we choose the wrong one, don't we? If you're out to accumulate wealth, if you really are passionate about that, it will demand your undivided attention, will it not? You have to get up early. You have to stay up late. You have to work yourself to a place of fatigue. You'll burn the candle at both ends. And then where will God fit in, Jesus says? If that is our priority, Jesus will not be. Proverbs 23, verse 4 tells us this. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Have the wisdom to downshift a little bit. Slow it down a little bit. Don't devote yourself so much to wealth that it consumes you and distracts you from the things of God. And the reason being, because money is unreliable. It's nothing like God. It's the antithesis of God. God is faithful. God is strong. God is true. God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But not so with money, because you'll spend your life to gain it. And as we see right now in our world, as it's so fragile, it could be gone in a moment. The Bible speaks of this, how we can go from having lots to very little in just a moment. In Proverbs 23, verse 5, cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Isn't that true? Our finances can just dissipate in a moment. One day you're flying high, the next day it's all gone. That's how it can be. So the Lord instructs us, don't let money consume us. Now, we need to work hard. That's biblical. We need to save money. That's biblical. But don't let that be the consuming thought of your life. Always make your money a tool and not the end goal. Use money to bless your family, to enjoy some things in life and have fun, but mostly to recognize it is to invest in God's kingdom. It is to do kingdom work and make a difference in this world and learn to be content. Many of the problems we have in our world today are the result of lust and greed and materialism, that we don't know when enough is enough. We have this insatiable appetite, and more is more is more. We just need to get and get and get. And we're fearful when it comes to our money because we can't seem to get enough of it. And that's why many of us worry in times like these, myself included. Because truthfully, deep down, there's a root of insecurity, a root of misplaced trust, and we're looking to our money as the hope for the future. So when that is threatened, we begin to worry. When it feels like it's going to go away, we start to panic because we have misplaced our trust. We've shifted our faith, and we believe that what God provides is the solution rather than believing and trusting in the one who provided it. So we start chasing after it. We worry over it. We misspend it. I challenge you today, don't let money consume you. During these challenging days in our economy and probably even greater challenges ahead, don't let your money worries take your focus off of God. I encourage you, don't fear the future. Remember that God is in control. He will provide for you. So seek after Him and trust in Him. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we trust in You in these times. When the world is filled with fear and worry about the days ahead, we want to look different in this world. We want to act differently in this world. We want to trust in You by faith and know that You will take care of us because we belong to You. You are our loving Father, our great provider. You have provided for our greatest needs, our most minute needs, and everything in between. So, Father, we trust in You as we go forward in life. We know that You're going to meet all of our needs according to Your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we look forward to seeing how Your faithful hand will provide. We trust in You. Help us in our lack of belief. Help us to seek You first above all things and to know that You will provide the rest. Father, I pray for those today who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's my prayer today that they would find that You are the great provider, the provider of the most important thing they need, salvation through Jesus Christ. So today as you watch, if you recognize that you've never trusted Christ and made Him Lord and Savior of your life, today acknowledge to God that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died for your sin upon the cross and that He has risen from the dead. Give your life to Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus as your way of salvation, your only hope for eternity. Give your life over to His lordship and leadership. Father, we pray for those who need Christ today. Help them to make that decision and to pray to you right now, acknowledging that they are sinners, believing in Jesus Christ, and making him the Lord of their lives. And help us all today to go forward trusting in you, believing that you will provide for our future as you faithfully have in our past. Lord, bless those who are watching today. Help our church family as we trust in you, Lord. Bless us and guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for watching today. Trust in the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you next time as we join together.
Thank you again for being with us in worship today. We hope that throughout this next week, you will stay connected with us through our various social media platforms. If you have a special prayer request, we encourage you to reach out to your life group leader, your deacon, or a staff member. We would love to be praying for you and with you. We also look forward to next week and hope that you will join us again here for worship. Have a great week.